Merlin Athrawas's eyes snapped open. Nimue Alban had always slept deeply, restfully. She'd never really liked waking up, and the process of getting her brain stirred into full wakefulness had usually taken at least a minute or two. Merlin wasn't like that. For him, the shift between sleeping, as Caleb had demanded that he do each night, and coming totally awake was as abrupt as turning a switch. Which, after all, was exactly what happened. So, when those sapphire eyes opened, he was fully aware of his surroundings, of the hour. Which meant he was also fully aware that his internal clock should not have awakened him for another hour and 12 minutes.
Lieutenant Commander Alban?
Merlin's eyes, faithful to the involuntary reflexes of their human prototype, widened in surprise as the voice spoke silently in his electronic brain.
Owl?
He blurted, so astonished he actually spoke out loud.
Is that you, Owl?
He went on, thus, he realized an instant later, confirming his astonishment, since there was no way he could have failed to recognize the distant AI's voice. At least he'd managed to sub-vocalize this time, though. A not insignificant consideration, given that his guest bedchamber's walls here in Duke Eastshire's Michaelberg headquarters were scarcely anything one could have called soundproof.
Yes, Lieutenant Commander Alban, the computer confirmed.
What is it? Merlin demanded, widened eyes narrowing once more in speculation.
A situation not covered by my instructions has arisen, and I require your direction to resolve it, Lieutenant Commander Alban.
In what way?
Merlin's voice was taut. This was the first time the AI had initiated contact with him without specific instructions to do so. As such, it was evidence that the fully realized self-awareness the manual had promised Owl would gradually develop might actually be starting to turn up. But the fact that the computer had awakened him suggested that whatever had impelled him to reveal his developing capabilities wasn't going to come under the heading of good news.
I have just received a routine upload from Snark Remote, Charlie Bravo 7913,
Al replied to his question.
Analysis of its content suggests you would wish it called to your attention.
What kind of content? Merlin asked.
The two-letter initial designator for the Snark indicated that it was one of the Coruscantian recon platforms. But although his own memory was as perfect as Owl's these days, he hadn't attempted to remember the full designation on any of them.
The subject Hoskins, Father Timon, has been abducted, Owl said.
What?
Merlin sat bolt upright on his bed.
The subject Hoskins, Father Timon, has been abducted,
Al repeated, and developing self-awareness or no, the AI's electronic voice sounded far too calm, disinterested.
When?
Merlin demanded, swinging his body around to put his feet on the floor and already reaching for his clothes.
He was abducted approximately 5 hours, 19 minutes, and 31 seconds ago, Lieutenant Commander,
Al responded.
And you're only telling me about it now?
Merlin knew the question was unfair, even as he asked it. The fact that Owl had decided on his own to mention it at all was the next best thing to a miracle, yet even so.
I had no specific instructions to monitor for abductions, Lieutenant Commander,
Owl told him calmly.
Absent such instructions, my filters did not call the event immediately to my attention. I discovered the situation only as the result of a routine data dump from Charlie Bravo 7913. When I downloaded the data, I immediately contacted you.
Merlin stood, dragging on his breeches and reaching for his tunic.
What's Hoskins' current situation? Give me a real time from the Snark.
Of course, Lieutenant Commander.
The AI obeyed the instruction almost instantly, and Merlin Athrawas grunted in shock as the imagery appeared suddenly in his electronic brain.
Dear God, A stunned corner of his mind thought numbly, "Dear God." He flinched as the Snark's audio sensors faithfully filled his senses with a throat-tearing scream. The bloody horror of the scene hammered in on him, and that same numb, distant corner of his mind knew that if he'd still been a being of flesh and blood, his stomach would have heaved in automatic protest. It froze him, that horror, and he'd seen horror enough for a dozen normal lifetimes by now. He started to order Al to ready the recon skimmer, but the order died ungiven. He was almost 3,000 miles from Manchir. It would take him 40 minutes to make the flight, even at Mach 5, and another 15 minutes just to get the recon skimmer here and himself aboard it. For that matter, however cautious he might be, there was always the possibility someone might spot the skimmer picking him up. From the hideous damage which had already been inflicted upon the priest, there was no way Hoskins would survive long enough for Merlin to get there. And given the limitations of Safeholdian medicine, his brutal wounds were undoubtedly already mortal. Even if Merlin chose to risk betraying his own demonic capabilities, Timon Hoskins was already a dead man. "And, God help me, the sooner he dies, the better," Merlin thought sickly. He sank back down on the bed, sapphire eyes blind, as the sights and sounds ripped through his direct feed from the Snark. He should shut it down, he told himself. There was nothing he could do, not now. It was too late, and there was no need, no reason, for him to subject himself to the horror of Hoskins' death. But there was a need and a reason. He understood Adirai Dinis now, better than he ever had before. Understood why she hadn't been able to turn away, refuse to witness what the Inquisition had done to her husband. Someone had to know. Someone had to bear witness. And, he told himself grimly, someone had to remember.